AAE, mobile.
KR4 AAE, W4DJW. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Dave. Heard you guys chatting earlier. I was wondering, like, man, like, the radio's quiet. I'm like, oh, I had all the volume turned down because I was so focused on work. But now I'm like, okay, let's turn the radio back on.
Yeah, that's something I do, too. Except sometimes I pick up the mic while the volume's down and throw out my call sign. I don't know if I stepped on somebody or not. That's kind of embarrassing.
Remember who said it? It was either Shane or Patrick, but you just gotta laugh at it and keep on going because everybody's done it before.
This is true. It's absolutely true. And then the older I get, it seems like the easier it is for me to forget to check that before I key up after, you haven't been talking on the radio for a while.
Oh, yeah. Or if you're on, like me, and have a dual band, you forgot you switch bands and you go to talk and respond to somebody else, and like, oh, crap, I'm on the wrong band. Whoops.
You hear people checking into A-Net sometimes like that. They're doing that. They'll just out of the clear blue, nobody will be using the repeater. Now the clear blue, they'll key up and say, net control, please check in. And there's no net going on this one. They're listening on the other band and talking on this band, the side that this repeater is in.
I did that a couple times. That guy still gets tripped up by it occasionally, too. How's everything going with you? Good on this cold winter day?
It is cold. I've taken the dogs out like 3 or 4 times. And every time, that wind makes all the difference in the world. If it can be like in the teens, 19 degrees, and I can stand outside with the dogs while they're doing their business, and it's comfortable, as long as you wear enough layers of clothes. But then when that wind kicks up, that's a game changer. It changes the whole ball game. It's like when the wind blows in your face, you got to turn around and put your back to it. That's the way it is out there now.
Yeah, I did the same thing. I walked outside. I was like, okay, not bad. Wind blew. I was like, oh boy, let me go get the Vortex jacket because man, that wind was. It doesn't feel good.
I had the dogs out at 2 o'clock in the morning. They're still not sleeping all the way through the night. They're 7 months old now, so. The larger of the two, Sophie, she'll get up in my face in the middle of the night. She just touches my nose with her wet nose, and that wakes me up. And she's just standing there staring at me. So we get up and we go outside at 2 o'clock in the morning. I got this really bright flashlight. It'll turn nighttime into daytime wherever you point it. Because I've seen a few people around here with Ring cameras that have bears in their backyard, right? While they were sleeping, a bear went through the yard. And so I'm kind of worried about that when I'm out there with them at 2 o'clock in the morning. And it was comfortable, no problem at all. And today the sun is shining. And if you're standing in the sun and the wind's not blowing, it's comfortable. But man, when that wind blows, just everything changes.
That wind will definitely make a difference. Bears, man. Never thought I'd hear about bears being this far south.
Yeah, I see on the Ring camera people less than 2 miles away from me showing pictures of a bear walking through their yard in the middle of the night. So you got two dogs that are running around and they're playing, right? They're jumping all over each other and they're picking up sticks and throwing them in the air and making noise. And to a bear, that's a meal. Right, especially if that bear's hungry.
Yeah. What's your QTH? Just general vicinity will work.
I'm 2 miles northwest of Greer, where Lake Robinson, if you draw a vertical line through Lake Robinson on a map, and you draw a horizontal line through Lake Cunningham on the map, where they intersect is where I am.
I'm familiar with that area. So you're a little further north than I am. Right by Pebble Creek, so that explains why you would see bears. I do know one thing: if I ever saw a bear in my yard, there'd be some meat on the table, and then it'd freeze the next morning.
Well, I told my wife I need to carry when I'm out there at 2 o'clock in the morning. No, normally, it's all I can do to get dressed and get my coat and my shoes on and flashlight and the leash and get them buckled up in their harnesses and make it out the door before they run out of the clock on the time that they have to take care of their business. If I have to saddle up and that's going to take more time. And then it might, the reason we go out there might turn into a futile reason to go out there.
Bear spray is not a bad thing to carry around with you. You can't actually carry and don't want to saddle up that much. Lightweight, effective, and it works. Just, like I always tell everybody else, make sure you read the directions before you use it. Watch a couple videos on YouTube so you know the most effective way to use bear spray.
Yeah, you certainly don't want to spray that into the wind, do you? That would be horrible. Bear out there, and you're over there struggling to get your next breath of air. Maybe a loud horn, too, those air horns, you know, that come with compressed air. Maybe that's a way to go, too, because I think loud noises, for the most part, runs them off, unless they're really, really hungry or there's something wrong with them.
FSL on that one, definitely there'll be loud noises will help if you don't have any bear spray around.
So how'd your day go? You're off work now? Tomorrow's Friday?
Affirmative. I am off of work now. Tomorrow is Friday. Still got to work, and I may have to work on Saturday, but I'm trying to train people on what I am accomplishing and what I'm doing so somebody else can do it, and they don't always have to depend on me.
That's your succession plan, right? You're doing succession planning? Are you getting close to retirement?
Wish I was close to retirement. I got, we'll say roughly 20 years before I can even think about retiring.
Oh, you're only halfway there. About 5 years after where you are right now before I got interested in investing. And I wish I would have done it every, 5 years sooner or 5 years sooner than that. But, it is time for you to start thinking about that if you're not already doing it.
Good thing about me and my wife and everything I've already been through is you always got to have a plan. Better safe to have a plan and be prepared than not have that plan and say, oh boy, what do we do next?
Absolutely. It pays off. Makes life, it's a game changer. I remember telling my wife one time I had a 5-year plan because it was shortly after we got married, and she said, okay, what's your 5-year plan? And I gave her the spiel on what we were going to do for the next 5 years, and I executed on that plan, and it worked out pretty good. So yeah, planning is the thing. don't just let life happen. You got to plan it out.
Yeah, I mean, we don't plan it 5 years at a time. We're looking way into the future. We're doing like the 10-year plan right now, and so far everything is lining up as it should. Let's just pray that it keeps going that direction. But yeah, I do enjoy having a plan. Even when I walk out the door, I got a plan. Always planning in my head. Can't turn it off.
W4DJW, sync up with the repeater. And then revisiting the plan at the end of the day. What did I do today that got me closer to where the plan's going to take me? All right. I can't help but do that. Sometimes I wake up at night thinking about what did I accomplish today? Was it a memorable day?
That's something I'm trying to get in the better habit of doing. But I do. We do revisit the plan every now and then. Do a little pulse check. Yep, things looking good. Yep, still good. All right, let's just continue on our course.
You know how the captains of the ships back when they were sail ships used to keep a log, and I don't know if you watch Star Trek much, but it used to be they'd start off on a Star Trek movie, and he'd be recounting the log, or at the end he would be entering a log. That's something good to do, too, is to write down what you've done and what you've accomplished and what you got to do next. I do that every day, too. I've got a checklist, and the things I didn't get to today get moved to tomorrow, but I can always go back and look at what did I accomplish today and what was my plan for today. Sometimes they're not even lined up at all. Sometimes I get interrupted and I don't do anything that's on the plan, and then other times I do the plan and then I add 6 more things to it. And that's kind of a good for perspective. I used to not be near that organized. I think it was when I went to work for Michelin back in the 70s or 80s. somebody handed me a Franklin planner, and I started using that Franklin planner. And I kept it jam-packed full of stuff that, that was going on. And people would come back to me and ask me, didn't we do this already? And I could go back in there and I could look it up and I could tell them the exact day and time and what and how. So, yeah, that's pretty valuable.
Yeah, maybe I should start writing stuff down. I don't usually don't have to write stuff down. And when I have days off, I'm kind of like, yeah, I'll just get this done. Maybe I'll get that done. The next morning, I'm like, did I get anything done that day? So, yeah, I can definitely see where writing down a day-to-day plan would be very helpful to have when life gets busy.
Well, eventually I started, I had books of those things. And we were cleaning out. I had, when my parents passed away, I had all of their stuff in storage for a few years. And after a few years, we had to say, okay, it's time. You know, they went up on the price on the storage building like for the third time or the fourth time. And I had to say, okay, it's time. We need to go figure out what we're going to do with this stuff. And as we were going through it, I came across a box of Franklin planners. I mean, this was a big box. This was like file folder size, you know, that held like, I don't know, 60 file folders. And it was full of Franklin planners and full of the things that I did. And I said, if we're going to hang on to this forever and pass it down to my kids, they're not going to be interested in this at all. So went to the landfill, gone. Eventually, you got to start purging that stuff. But it was good. It was a point in time thing that it was really, really good for. But so eventually I did switch over to the computer, and I do it all on computer now. It used to be I used to grab for a post-it note or something like that, a piece of paper or a book that I was keeping everything in. And I just made the conscious effort to switch that over to do a Windows key and type in the word note and hit enter, and that would bring up a notepad. And I just do it on the notepad instead of doing it on a book. A whole lot easier to store it there and a whole lot easier to find it later.
Yeah, I think I was at work one day and I wrote something down on a post-it note and stuck it somewhere, and the next thing you know, somebody wrote a post-it note, and I said, who took the post-it note? I was like, I really need that note. And then I said, okay, let's just get a spiral binder and write down all the notes, because obviously somebody likes my post-it.
I remember seeing other people's desks. They'd line the whole outside of their monitor with post-it. It looked like a daisy. All right, a flower with all the petals on the whole outside of the monitors. How they kept up, I mean, everybody's got their system, right? How they kept up with which one was active and which ones were old, I'll never know.
I think something bad happened when I wrote something on a post-it note and forgot about it, or it got moved and said, yep, that's the last time I used a post-it note ever. So, yeah, no post-it notes for me anymore.
Well, what other kind of hobbies, I may have asked you already, besides ham radio, what other kind of hobbies you got?
Photography, road cycling, firearms. I've probably got the most four expensive hobbies on the world, next to golf, but golf isn't a hobby. That's more of a frustrating thing to pass time. That's just what I call it.
Yeah, I did golf once. I think I was a teenager in high school, and somebody asked to go golfing. I said, yeah, sure, let's go golfing. I went once, never was interested in it again after that. Never been back. But airplanes get pretty expensive, and motorcycles, and boats. So, you know, they're all, you can get into them economically, or you can get into them and blow your life savings on them. I think they're all pretty much equal.
Fell on that. I was looking at getting a little John boat, so me and the kid could go out to Lake Robinson or Lake Cunningham and just sit in a boat and fish. And if you catch something, great. If you don't, doesn't matter. It's the time you spend with whoever's in that boat with you that's the most important.
There was a guy. There's another ham that reminded me. There's another ham radio operator that was down here for about 10 years. He's back up in South Dakota now. He's from South Dakota. He came down here and spent about 10 years, and we got to be really good friends. He was re-entering ham radio for the second time and getting serious about it, and I was entering it for the first time. I was in my 40s, and that was 20 years ago, and we were both learning digital modes and how they worked and radios and how they worked and how to store this and how to store that and what mode this did and you know, what this band was good for and what you can do going through a repeater or not. So we were just learning ham radio every single day and having a good time doing it. And one of the things he liked to do is canoe. So he came over here and picked me up one day, and we went to Lake Cunningham and put the canoe in the water. And we started paddling that canoe all over Lake Cunningham. We had a blast. It had nothing to do with ham radio, but we did carry handhelds with us. And from there, you can hit this repeater. So we were calling in on this repeater as Maritime Mobile out in the middle of Lake Cunningham. And we even paddled it up the creek that goes between Lake Robinson and Lake Cunningham to try to find our way to the dam, but something stopped us, and we couldn't do that. The boat was leaking a little, and so every now and then we'd have to scoop water out of it. But that is a fun experience. I think you ought to do that.
I may just do that. Maybe I'll rent a canoe from the cold bait tackle over there and get out on the lake and just go canoeing with me and the kid. Sounds like a good idea. Well, Dave, I hate to jet on you, but I got to get running here. I got to go pick the kid up. We're going to go over to my mom's place and have dinner tonight. So I'll say 73 to you. This is KR4AAE for W4DJW. I'll be clear on your final.
All right, Steve. Well, I enjoyed it, and you enjoy the rest of the evening with your kid, and maybe we'll talk again soon. KR4AAE, W4DJW. Clear and listening.